Hello, and welcome to the HR Means Business podcast, which is part of the HR Happy Hour Network. I'm your host, Mervyn Dinnan. Today, I'm going to be talking about some recent research that I've seen into employee experience. I think you probably would have gathered from what I put online that, to me, employee experience, employee engagement is the number one topic this year. Most organisations I speak to are concerned about how they can really kind of retain and engage their people. And so I was interested in seeing some research done by MHR here in the UK into employee experience, how people are feeling, and maybe how companies can get closer to the way their people feel. And so I am invited today, Kate Featherstone from MHR, to talk to us a bit about the research. Kate, welcome to HR Means Business. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell people what it is you do?
Of course, thank you very much, Mervyn. It's great to be here. So yes, I'm Kate. I'm a product manager at MHR. So at MHR, we create HR, payroll and finance software, and I'm a part of the product design team. So I'm always looking into business problems specifically for HR teams and their employees to see how we can develop software to support HR professionals and their organisation.
So employee experience, what was, I suppose, the driving factors behind you doing this research? Is this what you're hearing, obviously, from your clients, or, you know, and is it the discussions around kind of the workplace?
Yeah, certainly. So the research report was put together on the back of a survey that we conducted. So we surveyed 250 HR professionals across the UK and Ireland, and we really wanted to find out what HR teams were doing to create a great employee experience. As you mentioned, you know, it's been a hot topic at the moment, but we really wanted to find out what organizations are doing to capture this. How are they talking to their employees? Are they conducting surveys? Are they gathering feedback, or are they not doing any of this? How are they empowering managers to do the same? So yeah, the report talks about a shift in expectations from employees now having a big focus around well-being, and I think that's where a lot of the employee experience focus has come from. So that's what we really wanted to find out, whether organizations were focusing on this as well as their employees.
So what would you say for you, I suppose, the main top line findings? I've got a few stats that we'll talk about during the conversation, but in terms of, I suppose, the top line findings, what were the key ones, and what ones maybe surprised?
Yeah, so the key findings from the research that we found were that obviously we know communication is really key to understanding your employees, but we found that HR teams are often so busy and can't dedicate the time to get feedback from their employees and really understand what is going on inside of their organization. So like running an employee survey, you know, it could be an employee net promoter survey, a satisfaction survey, it's often seen as a large administrative task, which is a lot of effort to send out to get employees to complete it. So yeah, we found quite shockingly that organizations aren't doing that as much as we would think so. And yeah, we just wanted to really investigate why and how we can help organizations to gather that feedback.
I suppose one or two of the interesting things for me at the start were a huge kind of 86% of employees who said that they would leave a job where they felt that their well-being wasn't supported or enabled, or there was, you know, maybe a lack of interest in it. So the top line findings, Kate, showed that obviously people leave jobs if they feel their well-being isn't supported. 50% leave a manager. There was also a very high proportion who won't remain with a company if they feel they don't have the right learning and development opportunities available to them. How are companies trying to use, or possibly badly using, technology or software to understand the experience that people get?
Yeah, so I think that's a really key point that we found from the survey, is that learning and development side is not so strong within organisations. So as you mentioned, yeah, we found that 45% of organisations don't have any kind of learning software in place, and 50% of organisations don't use software for wellbeing management. And I think those numbers kind of speak for themselves, in that organisations invest in where they see value. So they're not getting enough feedback from their employees. And that kind of links to the point around surveys being a mammoth task for organisations to conduct. But there are tools out there which can be used to help aid this. You know, we've got AI, natural language processing. This is all really important to analyze key trends and make the most out of the data, because I think organizations where they are using systems and putting in learning and development, they're mainly using it for performance management. So they're looking at the performance side of things, goal tracking, hosting check-ins, which is all really great, but they're not making the most of the data that they're capturing. So something that we found is that a high percentage of organizations are on the digital transformation journey, but they're not always on top of the latest advancements within that technology. You could be using things like sentiment analysis to really analyze and pull out key trends rather than having to go into it and look into it yourself. Because I think that's potentially some of the reasons why organizations aren't running those surveys and running the learning programs that they should be.
Do you think there's an element that in some respects they're not collecting feedback because they don't want to know the answer?
Yeah, it could be that way. I think we found that a lot of organizations, when they do run these kind of surveys, they're not running them anonymously, and whether that's because they want to dive into the detail. But I think a way of getting your employees to reply and fill out those surveys, you've got to think, what are the barriers to your employees filling out that survey? Does it need to be on mobile so that they can do it on the go? If you make it anonymous, they're not people more likely to fill it out. If it's a short survey, you know, it needs to be part of your culture as well, being used to filling out these surveys and not just sending out a survey once a year, but making it a part of the culture and running it regularly to create that sense of transparency with your employees.
Well, you need open dialogue within organizations, particularly managers and leaders, I think, need to know how the people are feeling. So they can open up the conversations. And as we said, I mean, the research you did showed that in areas like well-being and development opportunities, people are leaving because that they don't feel they're getting these opportunities and the support. But presumably the kind of surveys that organizations are doing aren't picking up this kind of data. So, I mean, would you say that this is a key area in which people are maybe, or organizations are failing their people? Are there things they could be doing differently?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we as individuals generate so much data. I mean, even if you think about it in our daily lives, there's so much data that can be captured about an individual. And there's a lot more that people that could be doing around this. So sentiment analysis is something that helps you understand how your employees are feeling and gives the overall mood of an organization. So say if you're having monthly, weekly, or you know, every so a couple times a year type check-ins, if it becomes part and parcel of the way that your managers have conversations with your employees, you're capturing that data without it really becoming such a mammoth task. And then if you have a tool that sits over the top of that and analyzes that data in a way, looking for positive, negative, or neutral sentiment, it can help you identify where to look further and pull out key trends. But it's also kind of looking at those key trends in line with some of the other HR indicators, such as turnover. It's looking at them all together to create that wider understanding and that wider piece.
Sure. So I know there's been a lot of chat over the years about surveys and annual surveys. Should you run them quarterly? Should you? I've seen a debate online about run them monthly, or quarterly, half yearly, yearly. What do you feel kind of would be the optimum way? I suppose some of it depends on the kind of culture you have in the organization. But what do you think are the role of surveys? And are there maybe different types of surveys you could be running throughout the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have a survey that you run across your whole organization every quarter, in combination with your managers having monthly check-ins with your employees, I think that's a really good amount of time that you're spending with your employees and capturing and giving your employees the opportunity to speak up in different methods. Because you might have some individuals might not feel comfortable speaking to their manager directly. So you've got to provide different routes for them to provide this feedback. if you think about, if you run an annual survey, that's only a snapshot in time you're looking at. So people could be having a good day, a bad day, the whole organization could be having a great time, or you could be going through a turbulent time. It really doesn't paint the full picture. So I think if you can have as regular touch points, it really ensures that you're looking across the whole picture, and giving your employees the opportunity to be honest and tell their truth.
And what are some of the ways, in terms of kind of survey sentiment analysis, what are the kind of ways would you say? I mean, somebody listening to this, so and thinking to themselves, we don't really do this very well. How would you advise them to maybe get started, and one or two of the things to look at trying initially to get some data and information?
Yeah, I think having the tools in place is a good place to start, to be able to start to capture that information. But the way that we recommend it is when you have a one-to-one meeting, say if we're doing those monthly check-ins with your employee, set some talking points that you want your organization and your managers to have with your employees so that there's consistency across your organization in the conversations that are being had. And then you can, if you track some of the key points that come out of the individual meetings against the talking points, you can then have a look across like each talking point at a time to say, even if it's just like, how are you feeling at the moment? Is there any pressure with any of the projects that you're working on, or a specific initiative that's going on throughout the business? Being able to look at those in isolation kind of helps break it down, because I think when you do a massive survey and you ask too many questions at once, you kind of don't know where to look, and you don't know what data associates to which parts of the organization. And I think also looking at it at a team level, looking at it at a department level, because different parts of your organization can almost have different cultures within themselves. So I think I'd advise to try and split it down, increase the amount of conversations and touch points you're having with your employees. And to make a note of what's being said. It doesn't have to be personal data, but even just pulling out some key trends, and to keep having those conversations regularly. And then doing that again in a couple of weeks' time or a couple of months' time, and asking the same questions and seeing if anything that you've done to change this, has had an impact.
Okay, and obviously sentiment analysis is key. Are there some do's and don'ts with that? Because obviously there is software, we have artificial intelligence now, so there are maybe many different ways people might look to try and get behind some of the findings. Would you have any advice on that?
I think with sentiment analysis, so what we do is you can't look at it at an individual level, but kind of going back to that department level again, showing positive, negative, or neutral sentiment at the department level, and then pulling out key pieces. So you can get some quite clever software that looks into the text that it's being that's been inputted, to help identify if there was, if the same names coming up or the same departments coming up with the negative sentiment around it, and looking into it there. You can't really go down into the individual level at that stage, because then that's becoming a bit too personally identifiable. So we look at it at the department level. But yeah, I'd recommend just to give it a go, see if it works for you. You might be quite surprised with what would come out of it.
Okay, and the role of leaders in this, because it's the leadership, I suppose, sets the tone. And if you're going to have a culture of kind of open conversation, open dialogue, non-judgmental open dialogue, how would you advise leaders to set the right tone? Is it to do with how they interpret the data, or is it kind of creating a much more open kind of conversation channels?
Yeah, I think they really need to empower their managers within the organizations to go away and have those conversations, but providing them the tools to do so. So setting, I don't know, a precedence that managers go away and have those conversations every month, and have set some talking points that they go into these meetings with. But yeah, they need to build trust. So building trust within an organization is really important, around openness and honesty, And it shouldn't just be when you're running the surveys or when you're running the check-ins, but it should be throughout everything you do. And I think, giving line managers the technical skills that they need to do this, or the soft skills that they might need to do this, really matters as well, so that they can go away and have these conversations and be equipped to do so. So yeah, not being afraid to move away from the annual reviews, having consistent and regular feedback, and providing the opportunity for employees to speak up, but for the managers to also have the skills that are necessary in order to facilitate this within different parts of your organization.
And I guess you need something as well to maybe prompt managers to kind of have check-ins with their people and identify the right times to maybe see how somebody is doing or how they're feeling.
Exactly, yeah. So set reminders. I mean, you can have certain types of check-ins that you could set. So a return to work check-in, you can make sure that that has to take place every time someone comes back from sick leave. You can also look, if you've got a system that tracks how often you're having check-ins, you can see which pockets of your organization aren't having these conversations. It doesn't have to always record every detail of the conversation, but just that the conversations are happening and then allowing them to happen. Seeing where the conversations aren't happening, and asking why, and providing any support that they need. Maybe it might be they need time to allow these conversations to happen. If you're on in the middle of big projects and it's time bound. Sometimes these things, they do slip, but I think it's really important to create space and allow time for these conversations to happen.
Okay. And obviously it's important, employee experience is important. As we said at the beginning, it's very much top of mind this year. And with the kind of data we see about the I suppose percentages of people who say they would leave organizations if they didn't feel supported or if they didn't feel that managers were interested in their development or they don't get offered the opportunities. It's key to be doing this, I think, on an ongoing basis. Is there anything else that you found just before we wrap up, I suppose, is there anything else that you found from the research you do that possibly companies are getting wrong as well? I know you said at the beginning about some of the things you do around payroll and things. Are there other areas where companies could maybe get some quick wins in creating a better employee experience?
Yeah, I think we've already focused on around, I think we touched on the learning piece as well, but that is a whole entity in itself that organizations need to dive into. I mean, it's not just about salary anymore in keeping someone. They need to have an all-round positive experience. Well-being comes into that, a focus on benefits. Having a strong benefits package within your organization, not for just new employees, but for existing employees as well, to ensure that they stay. We also found that there's a strong link between employee experience and business performance. So satisfied and happy employees are more likely to be innovative and on top of their work, and they're also more likely to stay within your organization. I mean, the employee experience is the whole journey from the time an employee spends at your company, from their interview to their exit interview, and all the interactions in between. And it really matters, because even if an employee leaves your organization and they've had a negative experience, there's other employees that they still have connections with that are still in that organization, and it still does matter. And it ultimately leads to how long individuals would want to stay with you. But it impacts individuals' productivity, but the productivity of others around them as well.
I think that's an excellent summing up there, Kate. As I said earlier, I'll repeat again, we'll put a link to the research in the show notes. Kate, it's been a pleasure to have you on HR Means Business. Thank you for your time. And I'm intrigued to know what research you have lined up next.
Brilliant. Yeah, we'll have to stay tuned. Thank you
Yes,
very much.
I'll have you back on. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you.